All right, you beautiful people, the EAEM podcast. Say goodbye to feeling drained, recover energy, restore focus, and boost body and mind performance naturally. Millions of us currently live a fast-paced 21st century lifestyle, struggling daily with sleep, stress, and feeling sluggish. Modern living takes a toll, especially as we live, work, and play in heavily polluted environments. These stressors have been shown to interfere with the body's natural functions, declining our health and well-being, leaving us feeling drained. The Good Mood Co. combats feeling sluggish with a high-quality, affordable supplement pack. These packs are essentially useful to those who lead a busy lifestyle, tiring lifestyles, including career-driven individuals, exhausted parents, and socially active partygoers. Just 3 capsules a day work to boost overall body function, taking a sleep, gut, and brain health approach to wellness. Containing 36 plant-based ingredients, a daily dose offers much more than a typical diet and store-bought multivitamins. We need long-term solutions, not quick fixes, and focusing on within is a great place to start. So please visit the website www.thegoodmoodco.com. Instagram, here, the number 4, Good Mood. The same with Facebook, here, the number 4, Good Mood. And LinkedIn, The Good Mood Co. When you go and order online, if you use the code EAEAN, so that's EAIAIN, so Echo Alpha Indigo Alpha Indigo November, that will give you 10% off on all orders over $14.99, and this is including subscriptions as well. Now, I've been taking this for 3 weeks to a month now, and I can quite happily say that it has completely changed the way that I look at things. I'm feeling so much better after taking these tablets. It's been absolutely amazing. So go and check out their website, and remember to put in the code EAEAN for 10% off your order. Thank you very much, and ciao. All right, you beautiful people. Here we are, episode 64. What am I saying? 64. Out on Monday, the 23rd of August, 2021. So this week we have the new change, the new norm, as we shall call it, where the EAEM podcast is only going to be out on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm sorry, Jason. I know that you're absolutely gutted by this, and it's ruining your routine. But we'll get there in the end. Hopefully, you can find something to do on those Tuesdays and Thursdays that I won't be able to guide you on your work day. But what an episode we have for you today! I've actually went away and wrote some stuff last night. I've been quite busy this weekend as well, so we'll talk about that, and I've got some stuff to read out that I've been doing. I've also heard a couple of TikToks that I want to talk about as well, because hopefully they'll change the way that you look at the world, and we can all just start being a bit more grateful with what we have and what we're doing in our day-to-day lives as a whole, basically. I'm feeling pretty good, despite some of the stuff that has been going on in my life. I'm feeling pretty good. It's like nothing can knock me down. I've managed to also get... I'm waiting. They're in review at the moment, so I might just wait until they are actually up on sale, and then you can go and have a look yourselves. I will give you the website where you can go, and if you want to go and buy one, then that would be absolutely sound as well. I think I'm going to be working on more as well, so you give me your ideas. Also, I want to give you my Twitter account as well. That'll be another way that you can follow me and get in touch. As I've said before, my Gmail, if you want to email me, is smoke89e@gmail.com. So that's SMOKEY 9, the number 9, and then eforecho@gmail.com. And my Instagram, Smokey9E as well. My TikTok, if you aren't following my TikTok, then that is Smokey9E as well. And my Twitter is Smokey9ELFC, and you will find me. But you should be able to, if you do find me on Twitter, then it is just the EAEM podcast front screen, so you'll be able to find it there. So go and give me a follow, please. And I'll start posting up more on Twitter and on Instagram. If you want to go and find me on YouTube, it is Ian Appreciates the Small Things. And yeah, go and have a look. But that's Ian spelt with two I's. So Indigo Alpha Indigo November, not Indigo Alpha November. So yeah, so you might be getting that wrong if you're just searching for the one I. Because my name is Gaelic for John, because there's billions of Johns in my family, so I needed to be the odd one out. But yeah, I'm quite happy with that actually, because there is billions of Johns, so when all the Johns are together, then they get called, and then you don't know what John's being spoken to. So I'm quite happy that my name is Ian, or E.A. Ian, as I used to get called by one of my mum's friends. Hence why the podcast is called the E.A. Ian Podcast. So, as you probably noticed, the Good Mood Co. advert is a bit different this morning. Today, I went and changed it again. I can't even remember what the last one sounded like, but hopefully this one's a bit better. And hopefully you go and give it a go. Like, as I said, I didn't say that at the front. I'm going to need to change it again. I will do that after this. Jokes. God's sake. I can't believe I've done that. because I forgot to say that if you put EA Ian at the checkout, then you get 10% off. So yeah, I'll need to go and record that again, which is a pain. But oh well, thank God that I've noticed it here I haven't posted it up. Let's just write that down. Sorry, I can't do two things at once here. There we go, it's written down now. So, the weekend. So I got a little junior out of nursery at 6 o'clock on Friday. But he was absolutely shattered. I think he fell asleep just before I was giving him his food. Because he's been absolutely shattered. The first week back, I think a lot of people are struggling with that, especially a lot of kids struggling with that. Trying to get back into routines. I spoke to my stepdaughter as well, and I can't remember what day it was, but when I was texting her, she was saying that, oh, I'm just away to go for a nap. And I said to her, if you go for a nap, then you're going to ruin the rest of your routine. And she was like, oh, well, I'm so tired. I was like, well, go to bed earlier then. But yeah, I think a lot of kids have struggled going back to school this past week. And I mean, it is hard. It is really difficult, with trying to get back into a routine. Hell, I think probably even the adults, if you've been off most of the school holidays, then yeah, it can be really difficult trying to get back into that routine. The second week next week, so hopefully we're gonna start getting back into a routine. I've got C-fine today. Later on today, I start at 1 o'clock. I'm in there for 3 hours. I think I'm answering phone calls and passing people on to the respective people. So that'll be a new experience. I've never really done that before, so it's quite good. Good admin work, really, isn't it? Telephone calls, like receptionist type stuff. So I will give that a go. I'm looking forward to being of some use to some people, kind of like doing 3 hours of volunteering. It'll be good. It'll be better than sitting around in the flat. Not that I have been sitting around in the flat. I've been getting out and doing quite a lot of stuff. But yeah, it'll be nice to have some different interactions with different people, which I'm looking forward to. Being able to help and pass my services on to such a good charity, to such a good place that does some absolutely amazing work in the northeast of Scotland. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to just offering my help there and seeing where it takes me, basically. And I think I'll get quite a lot of job satisfaction from it as well, knowing that I'm doing something good. I think we've got a script that we need to follow, and I think that we've got it's like a bit of paper that you write down the stuff on for people who are needing like food and food bank stuff, and then you give them a time slot. And but I think the person who I'm working with tomorrow or volunteering with, she's been doing it for quite some time, so she knows what she's talking about when she goes on the phone. So it's perfect that I'm gonna be partnered up with her, basically. And I will and then I'm back in again on Thursday. Well, little junior's at nursery, so that'll be good. Then I think I'm on the phones again, and then I'll find out what I'm doing the following week as well. I've got a dentist next week as well. I think I've also got an appointment. I've got a phone-in appointment with my with the job centre. Let's just check this actually. Let's just check this. See what time I've got this appointment. Because I definitely don't want to miss that. Because that would be really, really bad. To-do list. So when is that? Wednesday. For 20 minutes. So yeah. So I will need to. I need to let them know what I'm doing. Well, I don't know actually. I don't even know what this one is for, to be quite honest. Hopefully he can also help me with my money, because when I got my money through, they said that I've got a spare room, and they're not paying for that. But then my little boy comes and stays with me half the time, so I asked about that kind of question. So hopefully he'll be able to help me out there. Why I'm not getting my full rent paid, basically. But yeah, hopefully this isn't going to be for long. Hopefully I'll be able to find something that is going to tide me over until I can do what I want to do. Because yeah, like it's definitely not enough money to be living on, basically. I really do not understand how people can do that as well. You know, these people that you hear who are getting benefits and they just stay on benefits, they must be doing cash in hand because there's no way that you could be living off of the money that you get off of benefits for the rest of your days. I think it would be quite soul destroying, to be quite honest, as well. Like, just, yeah, really soul destroying. But each to their own. But that's it. I'm definitely not wanting to be going in and doing some mundane job that I'm just gonna absolutely hate. Hopefully, I can start getting these things that I'll tell you when they're finally up and running, and you can go and check them out. Hopefully, I can get that up and running pretty soon. Well, I mean, it is up and running. I'm just waiting for them to be reviewed and put up onto the website, and then once that's done, I reckon on Tuesday, after I come back from the dentist, I'm going to be sitting here with a notebook and I'm going to be going through that Google Ads thing, the learning thing. I'm going to be starting writing stuff down because I might be able to take it embedded into my brain, because I'm definitely one of these people that struggle with those type of things. I've really struggled with it. Really struggled. Like, learning that kind of way, just I can't do it. So maybe if I'm writing stuff down, then it might be going back into my brain a bit better. So I will be doing that the next couple of days so that hopefully I don't need to go back into mundane work. I can be doing something that I actually enjoy doing, something that I can help people with. Yeah, that would be good. So, and then Saturday, I went out to my mum's with little Junior because he was spending the night at my mum's. He's been asking to go for months on end, but my mum's had like my cousin up from England, and then no, well, they were away on holiday, and then they had some family friends down from Skye, and then my aunt, my cousin came up from England. So this has basically been the first weekend that little Junior could go and stay with her. So he went and stayed over there over the weekend. Like, I mean, I didn't leave, like, I never left Saturday until like about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night anyway. So I mean, he was there only a few hours by himself before he went to bed. So yeah, so it wasn't too bad. It gave me time to come home and just chill, basically. I didn't get much done. I've been sleeping really weird recently as well, that I've been waking up quite a few times during the night and then having to roll back over and go to sleep. My pelvis is still absolutely goosed as well. I haven't been able to run at all. Or when was the last time that I did go running? I think it might have been Monday. And that's when I realized that I was gubbed. Yeah, 6 days ago was my last run. So I haven't been able to run since. On that, I've got a physiotherapy phone appointment on Monday the 30th. So hopefully, like, I mean, a phone appointment's not gonna do me any good. I'm gonna actually need to see the physio. So I've been on naproxen for like the past week, and I feel great on the naproxen until it starts wearing off, and then my pelvis starts getting really sore again, which I'm a little bit worried about, to say the least, because the running has become my habit. Basically, if anything's going wrong, then I go running. So the fact that I've been able to handle the situations that I've been getting thrown this past week or last week at me, then yeah, it's been quite a miracle, basically, that I've been able to handle those situations, because normally I would have went out running to kind of like get my head clear, and I definitely haven't been able to do that. I need to also watch as well, because when I'm not running, I see that kind of like my diet starts going to shit, basically. So I need to get stuck back into that. I think I'm gonna start doing the protein shakes and just eating the one meal a day again. I need to, I've been eating sweets and crisps, and I was drinking fizzy juice the past couple of nights, and well, not the past couple of nights, I drank it last night. But I also need to watch as well because I've got a stupid sugar intolerance thing that I've noticed that was coming back. Like my head was getting really itchy, like I had like blotchy spots at the back of my head. So I need to watch with that, and I think it's because I've been drinking the fizzy juice again. So I mean, I've still been drinking my water, but I was having the fizzy juice when I was having my meal at night time. So yeah, I need to watch that. Need to properly get back on to drinking water all the time and fasting and yeah, getting back onto it. It's so easy though. It's so easy to fall off the horse. So if you're one of these people that keep on falling off the horse, then do not worry. Failure is a good thing, but you need to see where you're failing and then just get back on and attempt to not do the things that keep on making you fail. I mean, I know myself that if I'm not doing that kind of stuff and I start eating, then I'm just gonna balloon back up again. The weight is just gonna come on as fast as the before I can say that. Yeah, before anything happens, like I will just be a big guy again. It won't take long, so I really need to watch what I'm doing, what I'm putting over my face. So the fact that I know that. And today, I think today, you know, like I've came home, I've had food at my mum's, so I'm just gonna do my rice and my vegetables, and that's gonna be me back onto it again. And I will stick into the routine, and if I have a bad day, then I have a bad day, and then it's back onto the routine. Just remember that you're not competing against anybody, you're just trying to be better than you were yesterday. So this weekend I've had a bit of a write-off, so I will be back onto it tonight, and then tomorrow I will be better than I was today, and that's just the way that I'm gonna look at it. So yeah, so then Saturday we went out to my mom's, and then I met up with Jason and his little girl Lucy, and we went to the football. I recorded a little bit with the GoPro as well, not the football of course, because you would get kicked out for that shit. But yeah, we got like walking up to the stadium, and little Lucy's absolutely fascinated. She's watched the video loads, I think. The fact that she's on YouTube, she's absolutely amazed by. So it was really cute actually. I'm really glad that I've been able to make her day. She made me laugh as well because she said that the best thing about the football match was just listening to me shout with the players. I got right stuck in behind the team. The Peterhead support is absolutely dire, and it always has been. I remember when I was going, and it's funny because I was talking to my dad afterwards, and I was saying that I was screaming and shouting. He was like, "Yeah, I used to remember when we used to go there, and you used to tell me to shut up for screaming and shouting and all that." But now I don't care what people think about me. So yeah, I'll quite happily scream and shout. But it seemed as well that once I started getting behind the team, there was more people who were starting to get back, and then the atmosphere got really good last 10 minutes, and they managed to score two goals. Well, I mean, they were 3-0 down and then scored two goals right at the last minute. Well, not at the last minute, but the last 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean, they played some not bad football. Once they stopped hoofing it up the park and just playing the good old Scottish Division 3 tactics, then yeah, once they got it down onto the ground and actually started playing some football, then it was good. It was a good match. The boy Brown scored an absolute cracking goal. Corner came in, then they headed it away from the corner, and he smashed it on the volley right top bins. It was a fucking stunning goal. But there was people leaving. I mean, there was people who left who didn't even get to see the two Peterhead goals. They were going into the bar. But I've never been one of those type of people. If your team's losing, then still get behind the team. They played not bad. Considering. I think that the referee made a couple of shocking decisions, like their first goal. They got a free kick just outside the box and they curled it in. It was a fucking stunning goal, but yeah, I mean, it. I don't think it should have been a foul. It didn't look like a foul. It looked like it coming of shoulders together, and the referee blew for it for them, which was pretty shocking. But yeah, all in all, it was a really good game, and me and Jason said that we might make it a regular occurrence as well. So that would be quite good. Go and watch some Scottish football, Scottish First Division football, and get behind the team again. But yeah, it was really good. And then we went back to my mum's. We cooked dinner, and then I came home. And then today, I went back out to go pick up little Junior, and then we went swimming at Peterhead Pool, which is freezing. It's absolutely freezing. I mean, it was all right for me because I've been doing the cold showers and getting into the North Sea and everything. But yeah, like, it's definitely a lot colder. The West Hill Pool that we've been going to is definitely a lot warmer than Peterhead Pool. But he really enjoyed himself, and he was jumping in, and I got to dive in, and yeah, he was really enjoying himself, which was really good. And then after that, we went back to my mum's. We had some lunch. He was playing with the dog, and then we got stuff ready. We went up to the park up in Croon Bay, and then his mum said that she was going to be home late, so we went and played. Well, we went up to the park up at Longhaven, where I used to go to school, because they've got a zip line, because he has to go on a zip line. So we were on the zip line for a bit, playing around on that. And then I came back and decided to do the podcast. So that is where we are now. But yeah, it's been a really good weekend, really, really laid back, really calming. It's been good spending some quality time with little Junior, and I think my mum really enjoyed him staying over with her as well, which is good. And I've got a couple of things. Well, the TikToks actually, the TikToks that I watched. So my mate sent me one, and then the other one I heard this morning, and I think they're both absolutely amazing. I'm gonna share them on to you lot. And it is, if I offered you £1 million, you'd be happy, right? I mean, you'd be ecstatic. Like, I mean, you would totally be like, yes. Like, I don't need to worry about bills and all that kind of stuff. If you put that money in the bank, then you're gonna get interest back, and it's gonna be absolutely amazing, right? But would you trade? But not trade. But the catch would be that for this $1 million or £1 million, sorry, that you wouldn't be able to wake up tomorrow morning. You wouldn't take it, would you? Of course you wouldn't. So life is priceless, because you wouldn't even offer that up for £10 million. So why are we not looking at it in that sort of way, that we already have that money? Like, we have that gift. Like, life is a gift. So why are we thinking so badly about it? Like, why are we looking at our lives and thinking, God say, I can't be arsed doing this, I can't be bothered doing that and all that. But you wouldn't even trade that for 10 grand, or 10 million pound, sorry, not even 10 grand, like £10 million. You wouldn't even do it for that. So why are we mourning? Why are we looking at life at this such bad thing, when you wouldn't trade that for £1 million, £10 million, £100 million? Because we wouldn't trade it if we wouldn't be able to wake up the next morning. So life is a complete and utter gift that we need to start looking, you know, like, we need to be looking at it more grateful, you know, like, more gratitude towards life, towards what you're doing in your life. And the other one that I watched is, it's a bit like this as well. It's like, start changing those I've got to moments to I get to wake up in the morning, I get to do these things, I get to take the kids out, instead of, oh, I've got to take the kids out, I've got to go and do the shopping, I've got to go and do this, I've got to go and do that. Because if you change that to, I get to go and do the shopping, because there's people around the world who haven't got that kind of stuff. If you've got a roof over your head, electric and gas, and food in your fridge and freezer, then you're doing a hell of a lot better than a hell of a lot of other people might be doing out there. So let's just start being more grateful for the things that we've actually got, instead of thinking how that £1 million would do you absolutely amazing. And it wouldn't solve your problems. Yeah, life would be a lot easier, and it would be a lot easier because you wouldn't need to worry about your bills and all that kind of, I understand that, but it still wouldn't make you happy. It would just make life easier. So stop looking for those external things. Stop looking for the fancy car, your mobile phone, loads of money, because they won't make you happy. You need to find your true happiness from within yourself and change those I've got to moments to I get to. Like, I get to wake up tomorrow, I get to feed my fish, I get to go volunteering, I get to drive my car, I get to cook food in the afternoon. The world is beautiful. It is absolutely amazing once you stop to actually have a look around and find out what is actually there and start appreciating the smaller things in life. Because if you're not doing that, then yeah, you probably will be upset. You'll be mad because you're not stopping to appreciate the smaller things. You're always looking for that next big thing to make you happy, and it's never going to make you happy. You could get the £1 million and then find out that, well, I'm not as happy as I thought I was going to be. So now I need to get that next thing and that next thing. And your life is going to be like a roller coaster. If you can find the happiness from within, start looking at the small things to make you happy, then your life is going to be more balanced. And it's so true. So true. Because that's how I used to live my life. I always thought that I needed the new phone, I needed a bigger car, and it was all to impress other people that I couldn't give a fuck about. People that I don't even know, that I'm trying to impress them. And now I couldn't give a fine fuck. Because now, like, the thing with my car, I mean, I always thought that I would need a big car, like a big, like, fancy Audi, so that people knew that I was, that I had money. And it's stupid that I was thinking like that, that I needed to have these big things to impress people that I don't even know, that don't even care. They do not care because they are more focused on what they've got going on in their life. So now my little Suzuki that I can chuck 40 quid in and it gives me 380 miles is fucking perfect for me. I love it. And then I look at those people with their big cars, you know, like their Land Rovers or the Audis or the BMWs, and it's like, yeah, but how much is that costing you? How many miles to the gallon are you getting in that? Because yeah, like I still know people who haven't got those sorts of jobs who can afford those type of cars, but they're still looking at it like, oh no, I need to be getting like a well nice car so that I can, because that's just what I want. And it is, it's to impress people. You're not impressing anybody because nobody gives a fuck anybody. Because they're more focused on what they're doing with their lives. It's like another TikTok I saw from that Creating Wonders guy, and it was like 80% of people are glad that you've got the problems that you do have, and the other 20% don't give a fuck anyway. And it's so true. You know, like, people do not care. Like, they honestly do not care what you are doing. They are more focused on themselves. So just start doing what makes you happy. Stop caring what people think. If that's all that you can afford, then that's all that you can afford. Don't be going out there and living beyond your means. Like I was doing, because it's stupid. Because now I'm paying back tons of debt that I didn't even need to do. You know, like, I didn't need to get, or I didn't need to waste trying to impress other people that I couldn't even care about, that I didn't even know. Oh no, but what's their opinion of me gonna be? Like, I honestly don't care. I mean, it's exactly the same as the football thing, you know, like screaming and shouting at the players, because I don't care. I don't care what other people's opinion of me is. I had a good time. My throat was a bit sore the next day, but yeah, I had a good time. That's it. Once you stop caring what other people think about you, then you can actually start living your life. You can actually start doing the things that you want to do. You can let your true self come out because you've stopped caring what other people think. And it is an absolutely amazing thing when you can start doing that. You start living a happier lifestyle because you've stopped caring what people think. And it's great. So, the two things that I wanted to read out at you as well. I've got my laptop here. Hopefully it hasn't died on me, or I'm going to need to go and get the charger. No, it's all okay. We're still okay. So, it was how to manipulate energy. So, we often complicate the world, the word energy by trying to define it in a scientific or mystical terms. All we need to understand energy is to get quiet and feel it ourselves or our surroundings. For example, when we feel present, our energy is grounded. When we feel attraction or repulsion, we may feel an energetic charge. When we laugh or cry, we may feel a discharge of our energy. Certain situations or people can deplete our energy. Alternatively, in places where we don't feel we are enough, we may cling onto others using their fuel sources as our own. Even boundaries are a matter of energy. We may bind our energy when we want to create separation and let our energy flow openly when we want to come close. One of the first things we learn in school is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, but that it can be altered. Energy can be sped up or slowed down. It can exist in a closed system in which the energy is held or bound, or it can exist in an open system in which the energy flows. Uncontained energy can cause a system to become frenetic or fragmented. Depleted energy can cause a system to collapse. Despite its power, energy in of itself is natural force. It is consciousness that directs its movement. If we think of this in terms of the energy and consciousness of the human experience, we may see that the more conscious we are, the more we direct our energy towards creation, connection, and evolution. The less conscious we are, the more our energy is used towards separation, stagnation, or even destruction. I mean, you think about it as well, right? If you're standing in a line and someone behind you is staring at you, then you can feel that. You can feel the energy that they are using to stare at you. And sure enough, if you turn behind you, then there's someone staring at you. So why do you think that is? So it says blocked energy. In my practice, I work with energy blocks and the restoration of energy integrity. After all, we can all recall moments when we felt in our flow. Our mind is open and flexible. Our breath is deep and rhythmic. And we feel spacious in our body. When we are in flow, we hold our healthy balance between expansion and contraction and act activation, doing, and receptive, being or slash allowing. We allow our reason, thinking, emotion, feeling, and will, doing, to work in partnership with each other. We have faith in ourselves and in the process, and we find ourselves appropriately undefending. We call this being in energetic integrity. Most people I know, including myself, find these moments of energetic integrity short-lived. Many people will more often describe their energy as feeling blocked, stagnant, or stuck. Their thinking is fixed and narrow. Their breath is held shallow or uneven, and certain muscles feel tight or weak. Energetically, they feel ungrounded, overbound or separated, and underbound, unmeshed or fragmented. They find it difficult to hold a healthy balance between doing and being, giving and receiving. They are aggressive or submissive. They are either overly reasonable, overly emotional, or overly willful. They struggle with stubbornness, procrastination, perfectionism, obsessive thinking, exaggerated individualism, or conformity. All of these are examples of energetic blocks. Cognitive blocks. A closed mind is an energetic block. When our belief system is fixed, we are blocked. I will often hear someone say, this is just how it is, or I'm just not that kind of person, or God doesn't want me to have that. These are cognitive blocks. Forcing currents. When we lack faith in the process or in ourselves, our energy is blocked. In this place, we are unable to turn our will over. There is no surrender here. Instead, we force our energy onto situations or people because we do not trust we will get what we need. We believe the only way in is to force our way in. Our energetic grip is tight and controlling and creates a demand such as, give it to me or I will make you love me. We call this a forcing current of energy. So what creates energetic blocks? One of the pioneers of body psychotherapy, Wilhelm Reich, summarized that we block our own energy to defend against unwanted feelings or impulses. He referred to those blocks as the physical instruments of emotional repression. As he saw it, the blocking of energy was adaptive strategy to manage life's frustrations. Take a young child, for example. Every night when her father comes home, she runs to him and jumps into his arms. Each time she does this, her father pushes her away, either overtly or subtly. The child, feeling the humiliation of her father's rejection, begins to contract and restrict her excitement and physical impulse to run towards him. She also begins to formulate a story to make sense of the experience. She may tell herself that her love is too much or that physical contact is bad. She may conclude that showing a man how much she wants him will lead to rejection or abandonment. Over time, the containment of her impulses are drawn conclusive about her experience will have the effect of pulling back her energy of contracting. When we meet this little girl in adult life, we may see how this energetic contraction has impacted her life. We may see her struggle with expressing her feelings. She may describe her relationship as physically distant. She may have tendencies towards perfectionism and seek the safety of admiration and adoration over the risky nature of love and intimacy. She may have a narrative that includes, I too much, I'm not enough, or I'm too much, I'm not enough, I must contain myself, or I will not show anyone my needs and desires. In summary, she lives by a life task whose goal is to avoid rejection and humiliation and the pain associated with it at all costs. This active life task of avoidance directs all her energy towards ensuring its fulfillment. She will most likely rely on her will to control herself and situations around her. She will most likely live in her head where reasons and intellect reside, and where, with the help of her strong will, her emotions and impulses can be contained. The energy of rage and grief resulting from the original experience with her father will most likely be masked by the energy of withholding, aggression, or a numbing of her felt experience. She may report being misunderstood as cold and unfeeling, and yet this couldn't be further from the truth of who she really is. For underneath the maneuvering and manipulation of her energy, underneath of all of her distorted beliefs, is the truth that is her energetic life force. It is the energy of the child flowing the natural impulse to run and jump into the arms of life. So restoring energetic integrity. The restoration of energetic integrity requires a bit of self-exploration, the willingness to take the time and the risk. The task before us asks us to do the work to become more conscious. It asks us to take responsibility for the way we use our energy to defend and stay separate. It asks us to get to know our belief systems and the images we hold as absolute. It asks us to feel into our body and energy and notice the place we distort and the place we refuse to bring life to. The image of the man placing his hands on his throat saying, "I will never speak up again," or a woman with a tight shoulder girdled, unwilling to reach her arms forward to ask for help, comes to mind. As you begin to become more conscious of your energy, pieces of the puzzle will come together. They may begin to see the way you use your energy to defend against certain experiences and emotions. You may begin to see how your energy has been used as a part of an adaptive strategy, how it has served you and how it no longer does. You will hopefully begin to appreciate how using your energy in this way holds you back from the potential that comes with embracing your full life force. I believe this process isn't just for our own personal growth. If we can understand the relationship between our own energy and consciousness, then we may be able to understand the relationship between energy and consciousness in the system we live in, such as in our families, our political system, money, war, and the way we treat our planet. What if, for example, we understood war as an energetic distortion of power and creativity? Or what if we viewed the compulsive striving for economic wealth as a cognitive distortion of safety and scarcity and abundance? Energy distortions can be found almost everywhere in our society and in ourselves, and are maintained through our lack of consciousness. If we can begin to understand the contortion of energy and do the hard work to transform it back to its natural flow, we have a good chance of effecting real change in ourselves and in the world we live in. So, helpful tips in getting to know your energy system. This process of becoming aware, you can't do it all at once, so embody a spirit of curiosity and be willing to slow. Thoughts are forms of energy. Become aware of your thinking. Start with your first thought of the day and go from there. Make a list. Notice your word choice and where your thinking feels fixed. This is how it is, or flexible. This is how it could be. Throughout the course of your day, just stop, close your eyes, go inward and feel into where you are. Do you feel present? What is the nature of your breathing? Are you holding it? How do you feel in your body? Restricted, relaxed, tired and collapsed, awake and alive. 3, move. Move your body, different parts at a time. What happens when you move? Notice if any thoughts or feelings come up. Are there certain parts of your body that were energized by movement? Stir something up in you. Do you feel you need to contain your energy, or do you let yourself move? 4, make sound, by yourself or with others. Let your voice out, energize your yes and no. Notice if one is easier than the other. Are you even willing to make noise? Just notice without judgment. Number five, where are there forcing currents in your life? Where do you feel a relentless demand of yourself or others? Where are you forcing your will onto people or situations? What happens to your energy in the presence of others? Take note of your breathing and your body. Do you expand or contract? Number seven, play with boundaries. Find a friend willing to explore energetic boundaries. Stand a certain distance from each other as one of you step towards the other. Notice when you begin to feel their energy. See what happens to you as another's energy enters your own energy field. Do you lose yourself at all? Do you feel less grounded? Do you feel that you can use your voice and speak up and ask her or him to come closer or back away? Number eight, make a list of different feelings. Free associate with each feeling. What is your relationship to that feeling? What are your beliefs or images about those feelings? Where do you tend to feel those feelings, if at all, in your body? Number nine, where are you most comfortable meeting the world? Do you lead with reason, thinker, emotion, feeler, or will, a doer? If you lead with one, how do you feel about the others? What part of your body do you meet the world with, your head, heart, or hands? And number 10, seek another's experience of your energy and observe the energy of others. How do you feel in their presence? Are you invited in or kept at bay? Do you feel they hold back, hold in, hold up, collapse, or scatter their energy? Tune in and feel into it. Don't figure it out, feel it out. So, what I'm going to do as well is I'm going to take photos of this and I'm going to post it up onto Instagram and Twitter and all that so that you can find it. Because I think that is gonna help quite a lot of people. I've also got something else that I wanted to talk to, but our time seems to be going past. It was about full moons and new moons. Since we had the full moon on Sunday, I wanted to talk a bit about this. So what is it saying? I'll just continue on because I can just make a second bit if this goes too long. So the sun sees your body, the moon sees your soul. This ancient proverb is a telling take on humanity's relationship with the moon. Often we look to the sun to provide light and clarity, but it is the moon that sees us through the darkest hours. As people, we go through phases just as the moon does every month. Here's how you can harvest the spiritual energy of the full and new moons to help you lead a more soulful life. The full moon in forgiveness. The appearance of a full moon symbolizes many things. Cosmetically speaking, it's the time of the month where energy peaks and then releases, something that writer Adrian Palmieri calls a cosmetic sigh. But what does this mean for you personally? Simply put, the stronger you're connected to the full moon, the more your heart chakra is aligned. Your heart chakra is home to kindness and forgiveness. This means that a full moon is actually the perfect time to let go of negativity. In this way, you prepare yourself for a new chapter, just as a full moon gives way to the new moon. So a full moon ceremony in five steps. Breathe in silence, turn off your phone, and take five long breaths. Hold each for 5 seconds and try to train your focus only on that, its cleansing effect. Light a candle. The spiritual act of lighting a candle is linked to enhancing intuition. Intuition can be very helpful when it comes to releasing negativity. Write down what's troubling you. To truly let go, you need to identify the things that have been weighing you down. This could be a habit you'd like to change, a bad situation, or even a person in your life. Expressing this through writing can give you more clarity than simply thinking about these things. Visualize your goals. Picture how much better your life would be if you made a change. Let your heart swell with happiness and how good this feels. Speak your intuition for forgiveness aloud to the full moon. Whether you're forgiving somebody else or yourself, speak it aloud. Start with the words, "I forgive," and feel the negativity drain away. You are releasing it into the universe. It can handle it. If you want to add a yoga element to your full moon meditation, check out this video. So a new moon for a new beginning. A new lunar phase begins with the appearance of a new moon. The energy most associated with this phase is that of the starting fresh. If you perform the full moon ceremony, your heart chakra is aligned and open for a new beginning. From a spiritual standpoint, the new moon is the perfect time to start a new project. Your energy from the last lunar cycle has been cleansed, giving you a spiritual clean slate. A new moon ceremony to achieve goals. Whereas the full moon ceremony focused on identifying and letting go of the negative influences in your life, this new moon ceremony uses similar tools to direct your attention towards reaching new levels of success. Breathe in silence and light a candle, but this time, because your old energy is already cleansed, focus on the future. Instead of writing down what's bothering you, harness the power of the new moon to set your new intuitions into motion. It's about affirmations without limits, so don't worry if you're writing some seems unrealistic at the time. Everything should be phased positively to nurture the new energy you are welcoming. Once you've done this, sit under a new moon and imagine sending your desires off into the world. Think about tying your list to a balloon in your mind and imagine it floating towards the sky. Want to do something for real? Burn the list on the end of a stick and watch the smoke carry your wishes into the stars. As long as you are doing this in full view of the new moon, it's really just a personal preference. The moon affects all living things, but humans are the only beings who are able to experience this in full. Next time you look into the sky at night, pay attention to what phases the moon is in and remember how its energy can enrich your daily life. So, I hope that you've enjoyed that. We've been speaking for nearly an hour for this episode, which has been really good. As I said, I will take a photo of the manipulating energy, and I will see you on Wednesday. I will go and post them up onto Twitter and Instagram, and you can check them out yourself. I hope that you have an absolutely cracking Monday. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode, and I will all speak to you all soon. Peace and love as always, you beautiful, beautiful people. Ciao.